Morning Edition and Morning News with Leslie Thatcher is brought to you in part by Park City Medical Center, Jan's Mountain Outfitters, Deer Valley Resort, Promontory the Ranch Club, and Promontory Foundation, and Carl Malone Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
Well, the Summit County Council meets tomorrow in work session at 2:45 at the County Courthouse in Colville. Joining me now in the studio with a review of the agenda, I have Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Leslie.
Well, let's start off. Let's see. First up is a discussion regarding water source protection, a PowerPoint, I guess, and apparently a water quality advisory group formed back in 2013. This was motivated by the Tesoro pipeline. So with that pipeline now shelved, what are the water concerns now?
Well, you know, there's always concern when it comes to our water source, and the Weber Basin is a huge water source for us and for a lot of other people. So, you know, as that group went through its process of talking about the Tesoro pipeline, they realized that, boy, there's so many other things that contribute to making that water source vulnerable, that we need to really look at that and see what it is that the council can do to protect that in the future.
Yeah. So what are some of the ideas we're talking about?
Well, you know, it's everything. You know, we experience things in the Snyderville Basin with failing septic systems. So, you know, we'd like to look at the soil structures, especially on the east side of the county, to see what, as development happens, what can that area support in different types of wastewater protection or wastewater systems, and where we need to put sewers in order so that we protect that water source. And agriculture is a source of pollution as well, depending on how intensive the operation. And we want to make sure that we're planning for all of that stuff in the future, and marrying that up with our growth and development so that we protect that water source.
Yeah. The county quickly changed its ordinances to deal with that Tesoro pipeline. Are those intact in terms of, I mean, what we need to do to make sure that we are protected in the future?
As far as protection for pipeline type activity and what might happen, and those things tend to surprise us a little bit when they come about. But it's so much more than that, and we want to take a more comprehensive look at this to see what we can do and put in place to reasonably protect that water source for the future.
So this water quality advisory group, will they be making recommendations?
They sure will. You know, they'll a multi-agency effort will be working with all interests that are involved with the area and the water source. You know, we want to make sure that what we promote is feasible. That we're not building a huge infrastructure around protecting that water source, but doing it reasonably, through that proposing that marrying of regulation with land use code, so that we protect that water source for the future.
All right, council will also get a presentation from Rocky Mountain Power. Is this a regular thing?
It is. On a yearly basis, Rocky Mountain Power comes in as one of our big power big partners, I should say, in providing services to county residents. So we want to hear all that they're involved in, and whether it be sustainable power sources, when we've got some things coming up from Rocky Mountain Power soon that will that they'll want to promote, as well as what they do in the community to help our community.
So what are they talking about?
Well, I think one of the big things they're going to talk about is subscriber solar. It's a new program that they're going to be rolling out in the middle of this year to really bring subscribers on next year with large solar power array that they're building in southern Utah that they're going to subscribe commercial and residential users to.
All right. So do they have any power line proposals pending before the county at this point?
They do. They're not going to be talking about those. Of course, those are land use items, so we can't mix the two subjects, and they'll bring those up in different venues as they progress.
All right. Also, a transportation planning discussion with the Transportation Management Association. Tell me who this group is.
Well, the Transportation Management Association is just one thing that we're working on. It's a group of both transportation system owners, so local government, state government, and our transit system, as well as anybody that uses it from a large perspective. So we have Vail involved with our TMA. We have Deer Valley. We have our large any of our large employers, and some of the transportation providers, like some of the black car transportation providers that are moving people around in our area and back and forth to the airport. And what they're doing right now, especially during the ski season, is making sure that we're refining our communication processes so that we've talked about this in the last few weeks, where we know how to manage the traffic or better manage the traffic when we have those heavy days. They will quickly be transitioning out of that as we get through the ski season and starting to deal with other issues that they've been working on in the background, parking being one of them.
Some of the other issues, the I-80 corridor study with regard to Mountain Accord?
Yeah, so the Mountain Accord Executive Committee did commit $400,000 to that study. We're still kind of working through some of the management and some of the procurement parts of that, and that's not just this study. All of those studies that are being forwarded by the phase two of Mountain Accord are going through that discussion right now, and it's a little difficult. So they're working through that, and as soon as we work through those issues, we'll be moving forward with that.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, parking. I mean, they're looking at perhaps purchasing some property where you could park.
That could be part of it. I think it's just part of it is going to be understanding how parking works. I mean, we've even got the Park City's got an interesting study, and I'm not going to talk intelligently about it, but they've got an interesting study to see if that we can manage parking per space. And there's technologies out there that allow us to link knowledge about a space and whether it's being utilized efficiently or not, and put that information on the web so that we can broadcast that. So it's just interesting stuff that's going on, and this TMA is going to be working on those types of things to try and really maximize the system that we have and then project out into the future what else we need.
Transit Center, where are things on that?
Transit Center is moving forward. I think the last update I got from Derek Radke is that we're very close to having the bid documents put together, ready to put that out to bid for construction. We're still moving forward in that vein. Interestingly enough, there's some movement on some other things in that Boyer Tech Park, Utah Olympic Park area that could affect that project. So we're trying to see if those two things can marry up and we don't duplicate efforts. But as far as that center and its purpose, we're going to move forward.
So what are we hearing about the future of that Boyer Tech?
Well, it continues to be a challenge. We want to see it be successful, and yet we don't want it to be a big traffic generator. I mean, it's kind of a conundrum for the community. Not a lot of movement in anything in that right now that I've seen, but we're going to continue working on it.
Okay, well, we still keep hearing the rumors about it's a possible site for a base of a gondola to the canyon side.
I'm hearing those rumors, too, and I can confirm that they're rumors. Beyond that, we just need to wait and see what the private landowners come up with.
All right, the association also talking about the sidewalk and road improvements around 224 and Bear Hollow Drive.
Yeah, I mean, so coming out of some of the discussion about overpass, underpass in the last year, we've worked with UDOT to come up with a couple of small projects that we can work on together to improve that situation. One of the situations we have, of course, is the pedestrian access there. It's a little challenging, both in the winter and summer, and so we'd like to improve that. As well, there was some safety concerns about folks at speeds and running red lights, not being able to see things well enough there. So we're going to try and improve that intersection from a notice perspective so that people have more time to react to those signals.
What is the status? I mean, the overpass, underpass.
You know, we're really the way that we've conceived it is as we're working through our long range transportation plan this year, and Snyderville Basin Rec is working through their master planning. We're going to marry those up so that we really take a look at those locations where we need to have those kind of crossings. And as a result of that, we'll re-examine all of those crossings and see where it is that our leaders want to put that stuff.
All right. Also, a review of the Canyons Transportation Master Plan. This is required as part of their SPA approval.
Absolutely. So we took the last year as kind of a time to work with the new folks at the RVMA and at the Canyons Village Base to see what they could come up with and ourselves in order to improve a transportation plan to fulfill the requirement to have one. We've worked very closely together during the last year. We're feeling pretty comfortable with the result of that. This will be the first public rollout of that and scrutiny from the council. Brian Mattesy from the RVMA will be in to talk in front of the council about that, and our staff will be participating in that as well.
Now, do they have to get this transportation master plan approved before they can move forward with future development?
Well, it's one of the conditions to move forward, and of course it's one of those items that was required to be in place, a transportation plan, not improvements, but a transportation plan at a certain percentage of development. We believe that with what they've put forward as a draft right now, that fulfills that requirement. And as staff, we believe that, so that's going to be our recommendation. But you know what it is it gives us a conversation piece and measures for the future to as they go and develop year to year, we can keep bouncing off of this plan with the RVMA to make sure that we're putting things in place and we're evaluating them to make sure they're working. And if they're not working, then we'll move on to a different solution.
Yeah. So what do they have to show, though, in terms of maybe, you know, mitigating the traffic that's being drawn to the resort?
Well, it's a variety of things. I mean, there's they have to show how they're going to really mitigate some of the day skier issues. I mean, they're limited in their parking up at the Canyons base, and as that develops out, you know, especially the day skier parking that we see now, they have development plans for that area. So we need to understand how that's all going to work in the future, so that it doesn't stress our system anymore, but that we find solutions to relieve that.
Yeah, but unlike Deer Valley, you know, that has its carrying capacity, mm-hmm. that it knows it. Vail Resorts will sell as many Epic Passes as they possibly can. So, I mean, is that something that the county can limit based on parking available?
You know, I haven't gotten that far in that thought process yet. But, you know, as this development agreement was put in place back in the day, it does put some limits and some controls on how much parking can be there. So, you know, right there, there's a carrying capacity issue. And both of us are going to have to deal with that in the future. Largely, as they want to develop, they're going to have to figure out how to mitigate that.
All right. And then also a settlement agreement. Apparently, this settles some legal disputes between the county and a lot of property owners in the Red Hawk area north of Interstate 80 and the Recreation District.
Yeah, so from what I understand, of course, this is a legal issue, so I like to rely on the attorney's office to talk more intelligently about these things. But basically, what it allows and settles is this Red Hawk development to be able to build their gate and gatehouse, but also they're going to have to provide access to public trails and guarantee easement to the rec district on that. So that's essentially the settlement that came out.
All right. Anything else you wanted to mention?
You know, keep track of our transportation work that we're doing. We're doing a lot of on the ground stuff, putting things in place to get solutions on the ground as quickly as possible. At the same time that we're doing some great future planning out there and really trying to look out there in the future and not and see where those problems are going to be. And a lot of stuff going on.
You're going to have some public kind of information meetings going
on? Well, the long-range transportation plan is going to kick off on February 10th at a 7 p.m. meeting. So stay tuned.
All right, Tom, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Summit County Manager Tom Fisher. It's 8:28 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. This is the KPCW Local News Hour. The Park City Planning Commission meets tomorrow night starting at 5:30 in the studio. To preview the agenda, I have Park City Planners Francisco Astorga and Kirsten Whetstone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first up, the 1251 Kearns Boulevard. This is the Yard Townhomes MPD pre-application determination. What we're talking about are 21 residential townhomes, two residential flats, and then a small amenity space proposed to be built on the southern half of the site known as the Yard. So, Francisco, what's the Planning Commission being asked to review here?
The Planning Commission is being asked to review the preliminary concept for compliance with both the zoning of the GC, that's the General Commercial District, as well as the general plan.
All right. Any staff concerns raised at this point?
This is one of the first MPDs that we're looking at since the adoption of the general plan. So we do have some discussions that we would like to have with the Planning Commission regarding specific items that were adopted in the general plan in the specific Bonanza Park neighborhood. But we don't see any major concerns that we have identified at this point. Obviously, in the future, we're going to go through the full MPD, that's the master plan review, as well as a conditional use permit, as the total of 23 units are in the form of a multi-unit dwelling, which is a conditional use in this district.
So those future discussion items with the Planning Commission, you think, what do they entail? I mean, is it?
They entail energy efficiency and some other, let me double check. Yeah, that's one of them, or yeah, that's the main one. It asks the Planning Commission if additional information needs to be provided in the future regarding energy efficiency, as that was a big item that we discussed in the general plan update.
All right. Now, the drawings look like some of the buildings reach four stories plus a sort of like half story underground.
So the proposal is the 23 units, and they're in the form of townhomes. Those are multi-unit dwellings, one right next to another one, and then we have two flats on top of the three stories, which is pretty much allowed in the district. That's the three stories. So any additional height, the Planning Commission would have to issue a height exception as specified in the land management code if the applicant is able to meet the specific criteria as adopted. We don't go into a specific detail at this stage as far as the height exception, because that comes with the full MPD review. In the staff report, we did identify such, and we did indicate that the applicant would have to have the burden of meeting that criteria, and obviously the Planning Commission will have to review it.
So these below ground units, that's where we're talking about putting affordable housing, and that's just market rate?
Correct. They are required per the housing resolution to provide 15% affordable housing units. And recently, as of this week, they have submitted more detailed plans regarding it. However, again, we don't look at this these specifics until we look at the full MPD application.
You know, at one point we saw new roads, and this was part of the form-based code discussion. We saw new roads being developed in the Bhopal area. Does this proposed development prevent that from happening in the future?
Well, the city has to, first of all, decide what we're going to do regarding these new roads. There was at one point a separate plan that was called, I believe, the Bonanza Park Small Area Plan, that I believe the Planning Commission looked at it, I want to say, sometime in 2012. And then the city, we were looking at an adoption of form-based codes, but that was never the case. That was never adopted. And that specific plan did have some It had a new road network throughout the entire district. However, that plan was not adopted, and I know that the city is still looking at the possibility of such through the new implementation of our transportation planning division within the community development department. They're looking at possible road network in this specific district. But I don't have anything concrete right now to show the public yet or to assess in the current analysis.
Yeah, so but this development would not preclude what was at least talked about in terms of new road development?
No, it has an internal road network for the development, so it doesn't connect to another road. The access for the current development is off Homestake Road. But it all depends, actually, Leslie, on what comes back on the actual study that we're currently working on through that transportation planning review.
All right. Later on, the Planning Commission will look at a conditional use permit and plat amendment for 38 residential units on Silver Lake Drive. So, Kirsten, where are these?
Oh, okay. So this is at 7520 to 7570 Royal Street. It's basically an expansion of the Goldner Hirsch Hotel. The project is known as the Goldner Hirsch Hotel and Residences. So it's all commonly owned and by the owners of the Goldner Hirsch. And there's three development parcels or lots that are lots F, G, and H at Silver Lake Village Subdivision. And then the Goldner Hirsch is on lot D. So the proposal is first to request a combination of lots F, G, and H. So they have one development lot, and then there are unit equivalents as part of the Deer Valley Master Plan of 34 unit equivalents, and that would be, you know, times 2,000, so you have a total of 68,000 square feet, and they're proposing those as one multi-story building, but it is in kind of three massings, but that does allow the underground parking structure, so two levels of parking. They're proposing 109 spaces of parking. And so this is really a public hearing, but more of a work session. So the planning staff has identified several items that we're asking the Planning Commission to discuss and asking for input, and then as well as input from the neighbors to before we come back with a final recommendation. But it's the units is consistent with the Deer Valley Master Plan, what they're proposing. One of the things we've asked about is this: they're also proposing 41 excess parking spaces. This is the vacant lot across from the Chateau and sort of between the Chateau and Mount Servan and just east of Steins and west of Golden Hirsch. And it is a lot that is used, I believe, by Deer Valley. That's a fee lot for parking. So the question is, obviously that parking will be displaced and there'll be underground parking. Should they be replacing some of that parking? We found that we've counted over 100 cars there, whereas if you did a code analysis, code parking with the right size stalls and drive aisles, it'd probably be more like 45, and they're providing about 41 extra spaces. Now, we understand that it's primarily used by the Silver Lake residents who or other Deer Valley residents who are in that area and don't really have to ski in, ski out, and so they drive there and begin their skiing at Silver Lake. So that's a question for the Planning Commission, as well as some discussion about setbacks. And then the Deer Valley Master Plan provides a height exception for these lots of 59 feet up to 64 for the peak of the roof. So there's a base elevation from which they start to a USGS elevation the top, and they have some questions about that in their design. And then staff is also requesting discussion on just the architectural character of this building. It's a little bit more modern, has a lot more glass. Some of the materials are not as typical as we've seen in other parts of Deer Valley, but that seems to be a trend. So we're asking the Planning Commission to have a robust discussion about all of these items and provide direction to the applicant.
All right, and then finally, the Peace House building there at the Park City Medical Center campus. What, are these the final Planning Commission approvals before headed to City Council?
Yes. Well, let's see. So this is actually an amendment to the Intermountain Healthcare Master Plan Development that we've been, I think, three or four times to the Planning Commission for this pre-MPD meeting, such as the one Francisco is taking on the yard. And one of the items or those pre-MPDs was to request Lot 8, which is the one between the medical office building and the Summit County Health Department building, to be the location of the Peace House facility. And it is in a more expanded, it's a 35,000 square foot emergency shelter, transitional housing, a lot of residential support for those uses, and then the Peace House facility itself, the administration itself. As fulfillment of the IHC affordable housing, they do have a remaining affordable housing obligation other than what's being proposed over at the Park City Heights. So this is now the MPD amendment, so not the pre, but the actual MPD amendment is the first item. And then the Peace House is a conditional use permit on Lot 8 for this building. And neither of these do go on to the city council unless the council appeals or unless there's an appeal.
So did you say that the Peace House will have to provide affordable housing? Isn't that what they're doing by...
No, actually, the Peace House is the affordable housing for the... IHC is ahead of the game, at least in terms of their contract for affordable housing with the Peace House, with the Park City Heights proposal. Although those units haven't been built yet, but they do have to come back and show where they're going to build the rest of their units before they get going on stage three of development.
Okay. Again, the Park City Planning Commission meeting tomorrow at the City Council Chamber starting at 5:30. Francisco and Kirsten, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
KPCW News Time now, 8:40. Well, for the first free Lunch and Learn of 2016, the PC Mark bringing back one of its most popular speakers, wellness coach Gina Van Leeuwen. In the studio, I have Mark Wellness Coordinator Dondi Shira-Likes along with Gina. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Leslie.
So, Dondi, we'll let you start. Just when and where?
So I'm here to invite the community to our free lunchtime learning tomorrow from 12 to 1 p.m. at the Mark. And to introduce wellness coach Gina Van Leeuwen for tomorrow's lunchtime learning on transforming your body and mind.
Okay, so Gina, tell us a little bit about yourself.
As you said, I'm Gina Van Leeuwen. I'm a wellness speaker, author, and coach. I've done health coaching for about 10 years. I am a certified health coach. People are getting confused with, do I sell products and things like that? I don't. I'm actually a certified health coach. And health coaching is all about getting people healthy again or preventing disease through incorporating healthier changes that bring about health and well-being.
All right. Well, as Dondi mentioned, you have planned for your presentation titled Transform Your Body and Mind. So give us an idea what you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, so right now, obviously, it's the weight loss season, and so many people are running off to do these crazy diets and counting points and counting calories and taking weird pills and things like that. And the problem with those programs is that they typically are not long-lasting because you're in a place of deprivation. So it's really important that the changes that you do make are changes that are going to be long-lasting and that you're going to want to sustain long periods. So not doing low-calorie diets and things like that. The other piece is the mind. I think that people don't realize how important your mindset is and the emotional well-being and how that fits into your body image and what you do with your body. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Well, still, I mean, when you say counting calories, I mean, science proves that it's all about, I mean, weight loss is about calories in, calories out.
And that's an interesting topic because I actually don't agree with that. So and I'll give you an example. So if you take a 100-calorie apple and you take a 100-calorie donut, the way your body processes those two foods are going to be completely different. Yes, they're the same amount of calories, but your body is actually going to expend more calories burning the apple than it will the donut. So yes, you're correct, but yet it's not really the entire picture.
Okay. Again, you spend, about a half hour presenting and then taking Q&A? Is that how you're going to do it?
Probably more about like 45 minutes, okay. I think, in total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And then also tomorrow night, you wanted to mention, Dondi, that
yes.
you
yes. So besides the lunchtime learning tomorrow from 12 to 1, we are hosting Utah Avalanche to help people prepare for Outback and Avalanche with their program Know Before You Go. And that will be from 6:30 to 8:30 tomorrow night. And it is also free to the community.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to mention?
No, just come and get some free information. Have a good time. Being healthy is fun. Believe me, I've been on both sides, and being healthy is so much better.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, Leslie. And we look forward to seeing everyone tomorrow, 12 to 1.
Okay, Gina and Dondi, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.